As patriots, it's our duty to rise up in a world full of darkness. Evil comes in many forms, and it lurks around unexpected corners. It's time to stop wondering what will happen if it comes to war. War is already here. It's time to rise. Rise up for truth. Rise up for freedom. Rise up for our rights as American citizens. And now, at the head of the militia, here's your host, Mickey Garris.
Hello, my fellow patriots, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your fearless leader, your hostess with the mostest, Mickey Garris, and it's good to be here with you on Saturday afternoon. I hope you guys are doing well. I hope your week was fantastic. I hope you guys are living life free of worrying about any of these ridiculous COVID mandates. We hit that pretty hard on the last show, and I'm still on top of it. Here in Oregon, several of the counties just got raised back to the high level again, which means more restrictions, more lockdowns, really putting the hurt again on small business, on the restaurant industry. And enough is enough. It's just got to stop. I'm so tired of it. For so many of us, our kids just got back to school this week. A lot of the schools just started in-school learning again. And literally this week for my kids was the first time they've been back. And no sooner than they go back, you know, the very same week, the Fuhrer, Kate Brown, she decides to raise the levels at the various counties to high and put more restrictions. And so we're just on kind of pins and needles. What's that really mean? Are they going to end up closing school again and sending the kids home after they've only been back a week? The mind games that it does for the community, the mind games, the mental anxiety that it puts on the kids is so unhealthy, far more dangerous than COVID itself. What it's doing to these small businesses and the restaurant industry, it's making them close down. You know, we have lost literally thousands in this last year, and the longer it goes on, the more closed down each and every month. And they can't be in limbo like they've been either. This week you can have 25% capacity. Next week you can have 50% capacity. Oh, no more indoor dining the following week. It's just limbo, and it costs them money to make these modifications to their restaurants to be able to try to accommodate these mandates. And enough is enough. If you're a restaurant owner, I think you guys need to just band together, and I think you need to say no. We are not closing down. We're not closing down ever again. And I'll tell you why. Because you're risking this close down being your last close down. That's the reality of it, right? I mean, how much longer can you survive? You're the only one that knows that. But I know it's hard on you guys, and I want to support you guys. And if you guys stay open, I am going to come. And I know so many people in the community are going to come. And we're going to help support you guys. We can't do that if you're closed down. And the only way we are going to get past Kate Brown and her ridiculous tyranny that she's imposed on the state of Oregon and on small business is for us to all stand together and say, no, we're not going to comply. And I know that means possible consequences, but strength in numbers, my friends. And if enough people stand together, they're going to have to learn their lesson. I just was reading that Lowe's got a big fine and they got their hand slapped. And what we need is big corporations like Lowe's and Home Depot and these other big corporations that have money. We need them to fight this stuff. We need them to stop complying. We need them to push back on this tyrannical government. It's absolutely ridiculous, and it's unnecessary, and it's causing much more harm than good. There's just no reason why we're still being closed down. It's fear. Remember what I said the last show? If you didn't catch that last show, you can go back and check it out on the podcast. Bottom line is they know exactly what they're doing, and it's all about control. And it's all about pushing their socialist agenda, and this is just one part of that. So go check out that last show, and you'll learn more about what my thoughts are on that. But we got to band together. We got to say no. Now, this week is a big, big news week, right? I mean, we had one of the bigger trials of the last decade happen this week. Of course, former police officer Chauvin, who was on trial for the murder of George Floyd. George Floyd, a year ago, was breaking the law and resisting arrest and got in the confrontation. And we all know what happened. We've all watched the video. If you haven't watched the video, I advise you to watch the video in its entirety. And bottom line is, we know that during that exchange, because of a multitude of reasons, George Floyd lost his life. So the question was, who is to blame? Well, of course, in the world we live in, the anti-cop world, the defund the police world, everybody's a racist type of a world that we live in nowadays, everybody started pointing the fingers at the police. And, of course, these police got charged with various crimes, murder one, murder two, manslaughter. And we've been waiting all year long for this trial. What's happened this last year because of George Floyd's death is just been anarchy towards law enforcement, anarchy in the various cities with rioting and burning their cities down, looting and vandalizing the businesses in the cities all across the nation, all because it stemmed from this George Floyd incident. And so everybody was on pins and needles because depending on what the verdict was, would depend on if those type of riots would continue, if they would get worse, or if they would get better. Now, I've watched the entire video, and I watched the trial, and I listened to all the evidence, and I looked at the various facts of the case. And in my opinion, I don't think that the prosecution could prove that there was beyond reasonable doubt that Chauvin was guilty of committing these crimes. Now, I'm not saying that he was guilty or not guilty. I just don't think the prosecution adequately proved beyond reasonable doubt with the evidence that existed. And I don't think if you were a jury sitting there, I don't think that you could really see that either. I think the verdict that came out really did stem from pressure and I think they were afraid, and I think everybody knew what was going to happen if they didn't come out with a guilty verdict. And I think no matter what the courts told the jury, no matter what kind of laws are in place, I think that the jury knows good and well that someday, somehow, their names would be released, they'd be doxxed, and if they didn't play the game, if they didn't come out with the guilty verdict, that their lives would be over. I wholeheartedly believe that, and I believe that it was fear that drove their decision. I'm not saying that I'm sitting here defending Derek Chauvin and the way he acted, but after I reviewed the evidence, after I looked at the facts, and after I watched the trial, I just don't think the prosecution proved beyond reasonable doubt that he was guilty of those crimes. At the very most, maybe a manslaughter charge, but not murder charges. I'm sorry, no way, shape, or form. And I don't think that would ever flew anywhere else. But because of the climate that we're in right now, because people are afraid and communities have been torn apart and burned down, and there's been nonstop rioting day in and day out, and the threats were already being made that if he's not found guilty, that it's going to get really bad. I think the jury was absolutely terrified. And then you had, you know, these power players like Maxine Waters, and you had Joe Biden on that day calling George Floyd's family. If you don't think that's not influential to the jury, that's absolutely ridiculous. Could you imagine? I mean, look at the things they accused Donald Trump of for calling people and talking to them on the phone. And what Donald Trump did was 100% legal, but look at what they were saying about how he was persuading and influencing and using his position and making it sound like he was, you know, breaking all kinds of laws, and they actually impeached him over some of this stuff. Now, President Joe Biden, he's calling up George Floyd's family, and the things he's saying, you don't think that didn't get back to the jury and didn't weigh on their decision? Did it influence any of their decision? You don't think that the threats that Maxine Waters was making, did it influence any of the jury's decision? Or the threats that the BLM group, or, you know, just the extreme left fringe groups that have created all these problems this last year, you don't think that all of that and the jury knowing that they can't trust the media, if the media got a hold of their information, in a heartbeat, they would publish it. They would dox this jury in a heartbeat to sell a story. You and I both know that they would, because they're sick individuals. They don't care about the rule of law. They don't care about life. If they can do something to get a headline, that's what they're going to do. And we know that information gets leaked. We absolutely know that it gets leaked, and we know that the jury's names will get leaked out of here. The jury knew that. The fact that they even had the trial in that community, that it wasn't moved to a different community, is ridiculous. There's just so many things wrong with this case. And to me, it just shows that, you know, whether or not Chauvin was guilty of killing George Floyd wrongfully or not, the trial that took place, I do not think was a fair trial. Okay? The trial was not a fair trial because of everything that I just mentioned. And that's something that should really concern everybody. I mean, that's something that we all are protected by, and we all have rights. And when things happen the way they happen because of political pressure and what kind of climate's happening right at the moment, and people are influencing decisions and putting fear in the decision makers to do things a certain way, it taints our justice system, and it makes it so it's impossible to give people a fair trial. It makes it impossible to say innocent until proven guilty. These people are assumed guilty. They're guilty long before they get their day in court because of the court of public opinion and the media and the way the media presents these stories. And then we have government that's on board with this stuff, and it's just not right. I'll tell you how all of this 100% could have been avoided, and how George Floyd could still be breathing with us today. If he would have cleaned his life up, if he would have stopped the life of crime, if he would have stopped using drugs. What we know from watching the case, what we know from listening to the coroner and the various medical experts, even the prosecution's witnesses, the people that the prosecution brought in, they even backed up the fact that what Derek Chauvin did was within department policy, that they have been trained on those hold tactics, that some of those people have used them themselves. The medical experts have said that there was no bruising on the back, that there was no damage from the knee being placed on the back of the neck or the back of the shoulder blades, that is not why he died. I mean, the prosecution could not even prove with their own witnesses that they called to the stand. Now, hats off to the prosecution. They played a good game. And, you know, the way they attacked this obviously helped them get the results that they were after. But the reality is the jury was scared to death. That's what I think. And the way this all could have been different is, like I said, had George Floyd stopped his life of crime, stopped using drugs, had George Floyd just listened to law enforcement, followed instructions, he would still be alive today, maybe. Or maybe the drugs, the gross overdose of drugs, of fentanyl that he took, maybe regardless of law enforcement intervention in that situation on that day, at that time, at all, maybe he would have died no matter what. Regardless if Chauvin was in the picture or not. Now, you can say that Derek Chauvin shouldn't be a law enforcement officer, that he's a bad guy, that he's evil, but none of us really know that. But what we do know is the choices that George Floyd made resulted in George Floyd's demise. Stick with me. Don't turn that dial. We'll be right back here on Patriot Uprising Radio.
We're
We're back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Mickey Garris.
Hello, my friends, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your host, Mickey Garris, and it's good to be here today with you on Saturday. Thanks for joining me again. We were just talking about the trial of the decade, possibly, with Officer Chauvin and his conviction. We can say conviction now over the death of George Floyd. He got convicted on all three counts. And I'll tell you right now, I don't know Officer Chauvin. I don't know if he's a good guy or a bad guy. I know there's been a lot of people that don't like him. But he does have a long history in law enforcement, and I'm sure he's done a lot of good things, too. When something bad like this happens, of course, all the dirt comes to the top, and people try to separate themselves as fast as they can. That's human nature. And minor incidents are blown up. You know, you might have somebody in a community that had just a minor incident with a law enforcement officer. Even an incident that was because of their own doing and their fault, and an incident that they perhaps escalated themselves. And then later on, you find out that that officer is in some trouble over something. And what do those people do? Those people go out and say, yeah, I had a problem with him too. He was overzealous. He was just aggressive. He was unprofessional. And, you know, you get everybody that ever had any interaction with this officer because he was doing his job, a job that the taxpayers asked him to do, pay him to do to help keep the community safe. But everybody that's ever fallen on the wrong side of the law and dealt with him automatically has a story to tell. And of course, the story is one-sided. You don't get to hear him defending himself. You don't get to hear him tell the other side of the story. And the story is always blown way out of proportion. So I can't believe that he's really the guy that a lot of people have painted him to be. Because if he really was that guy, I don't think he'd be in law enforcement for that many years. Not to say that there's not some law enforcement officers that have made horrible mistakes that are terrible people. There's good and bad in everything, good and bad in every profession. But my wholehearted belief is that 99.9% of law enforcement officers are there to protect and serve. They want to do what's right for their community, and they put their lives on the line every single day to protect you and I. They run into our emergencies. When we're scared to death, when we're having the worst day of our lives, when we need help, when our lives are in danger, these guys, they're the heroes. They come to protect us. They come to save us. And without law enforcement, imagine where we would be. We know where we would be because this last year we've got a small taste of what happens when there's not enough law enforcement, when law enforcement can't operate in certain communities, when the mobs take over areas and overpower law enforcement, and law enforcement are having their hands tied behind their backs because of poor leadership, because of government choices, because of tyranny within the ranks, because some of the governors and mayors of these communities are standing on the wrong side and not allowing law enforcement to uphold the law, uphold the Constitution, and protect people, but actually siding, my friends, with the angry mobs that are breaking the laws. That's what's happening today. Thank God we have law enforcement that are still willing to go to work and do the very difficult task that they have to do. Now, I don't think justice was served with the outcome of this trial. I really don't. And if I was a law enforcement officer, I'd be watching what happened closely, and I'd be thinking, what am I doing in this profession? It's a ticking time bomb. It's only a matter of time before I'm out there and I'm having to make a choice that means my life or theirs, or their life and somebody that I'm supposed to be protecting's life. And no matter what choice I make, it's going to be scrutinized. And the media is going to attack me, and they're going to make me look bad. And, you know, not only are they out there physically putting their lives on the line, but they're also putting their lives on the line in the sense of whatever consequences will come from their decisions that they have to make in a split second. And they go out there every day with the right intentions. They go out there not to hurt anybody, but they are forced into these situations where they have to make split-second decisions. And after they make their decision, it's going to be scrutinized and torn apart and dissected by everybody. And they're going to be told how bad they are and how wrong they are. Like what's happening right now, the officer in Ohio that shot the 13-year-old girl that was trying to stab somebody, attacking and stabbing people. What was this officer supposed to do? Even Fox News, shame on them. Even Fox News, the headlines made it read like the officer did something terrible. Officer shoots and takes the life of a 13-year-old girl. Doesn't tell anything else in the headline. Just makes the officer sound like a killer automatically in the headline. Why didn't the headline from Fox News say the officer shot and saved the lives of people, innocent people, from getting stabbed? The officer shot an attacker and saved the lives of innocent people getting stabbed. But no, instead Fox News' headline was officer shot taking the life of a 13-year-old girl. Doesn't mention what the 13-year-old girl was up to. I don't care if you're 10 years old. If you got a knife and you're trying to stab somebody, guess what? There's going to be consequences. And you know what? The people that that officer just saved, the people that that officer just saved, they are probably darn happy that he squeezed the trigger. They are probably really happy that he did not hesitate. A knife is a lethal weapon. A knife will kill you just as fast or faster than a bullet will. And more people are killed by knives every single year than by guns. And if you're standing there getting ready to be stabbed, you don't care what age the person is that's stabbing you. If you're the victim and you're being stabbed or getting ready to be stabbed, you're darn happy that that officer squeezed the trigger and stopped that threat. That officer's a hero and he saved lives. And now that is being blown up again. Just like the George Floyd case was blown up. You know, it sounds terrible, but officers have a job to do. And if you don't want to get hurt, if you don't want to end up dead, if you don't want to end up behind bars, guess what? All you have to do is abide by our laws, follow the rules, and listen to law enforcement. That's it. That's it. It's pretty simple. Don't turn that dial. Stick with me. We'll be right back here on Patriot Uprising Radio.
We're back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Nikki Garris.
Hey, my fellow Patriots. Welcome to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. Glad you're here with me today. We were just talking about how you don't get shot by law enforcement and killed. And I told the secret. I hope you guys were listening. Personally, I hope it's common sense. One would think it's common sense. But sadly, we live in a world today that the cops are always wrong. And no matter what you do, there should never be any consequences, right? The cops are all racist. Everybody's picking on the black folks, and there should never be any consequences for your actions. Break whatever laws you want to break, endanger however many people you want to endanger, do whatever you want to do, and if you ever have a run-in with law enforcement, they're going to be wrong, they're going to be the racist, and they're going to be the ones that are guilty. God forbid they even stop you and ask you what you're up to. Because you're innocent, right? That's the world we live in. It's so completely upside down, you would think it was a comedy if you saw it in a show. But that's the world that we live in. You know, God says, you know, the Bible tells us what's right is wrong and what's wrong is right in the end days. And this is just another example we are witnessing of what's right is wrong and wrong is right, just like Scripture says. It's sad that we live in a society that will defend the bad guys and attack the victims and the heroes. But that's where we're at today. That's the society that we live in today. And you know what? Every time something like this happens, every time there's a George Floyd incident, the whole country pauses and all the government has to make a big spectacle about it, and everybody's got to get on their news and say how terrible it is and say how they need to investigate police brutality and how we need to have gun control, and all the athletes get involved and all the actors get involved, and they run off their mouth and they talk about this, and they march down the streets and they riot and they burn down the cities and they say their name. I'm going to say a few names. I'm going to say a few names right now. Sergeant Gordon William Best. Sergeant Daniel Marcus Mobley. Lieutenant Jeff Blaine. Deputy Sheriff Nicholas Howell. Sergeant Randall Sims. Deputy Sheriff Jonathan David Price. Police Officer Jay Hughes. Officer Brian David Sicknick. Sergeant David G. Crumpler. Lieutenant William Lyle Gardner. Conservation Officer Stephen Rigard. Police Officer Atora Villegas. Master Corporal Brian Roy Levine. Agent Luis Maria Diaz. Agent Luis Solomon Conde. Agent Elsner Hernandez Cartagena. Police Officer Melton Fox Gore. Sergeant Frederick H. Cameron Butch. Detective Sergeant Stephen R. DeFossis. Chief of Police Tony M. Jordan. Corporal Christine Peters. Constable Sherry K. Langford. Lieutenant Trevia Peston. Corrections Officer Alfred Jimenez. Police Officer Jerry Stephen Hampfield. Sergeant Edward Johns Marcrillo Jr. Lieutenant John Reynolds. Corrections Officer Joseph Martinez. Deputy Sheriff Adam Gibson. Police Officer Brandon Stalker. Warrant Officer Toby Kaiser. Deputy Sheriff Jacinto R. Navarro Jr. Officer Byron Don Shields. Lieutenant Frank Arnold. Special Agent Wayne Douglas Snyder. Captain Michael D'Angelo Garrigan. Lieutenant Juan Rafael Padu. Auxiliary Sergeant Louis M. Levitino. Director of Field Operations Beverly Good. Sergeant Tommy W. Cudd. Sergeant Jeffrey Robert Smith. Special Agent Robert Allen Mayer Jr. Sergeant William Bradigam. Correctional Officer Juan Lanz. Sergeant Grace Bellamy. Lieutenant Michael Botte. Special Agent Laura Ann Schwarzenberger. Special Agent Daniel Alfin. Detention Officer Robert Perez. Agent Juan Rosado Lopez. Patrolman Darian Jarrett. Detective Pedro Jr. Pete Mija. Officer Caesar Dagaran Sabonga. Deputy Sheriff Ross Dixon. Corrections Officer Vicky James. Investigator Eddie B. Hutchinson III. Chief of Police Timothy John Sheehan. Deputy Sheriff Ronald Raymond Gilreth. Police Officer Mitchell Pinton. Officer Genere Gennaro. Corrections Officer Tewa Obele. Major Esteban Ramirez III. Deputy Constable Manuel Philip De La Rosa. Sergeant Richard Paul Brown. Deputy Sheriff Michael Magley. Police Officer Horatio Dominguez. Lieutenant Eugene Lasco. Natural Resource Officer Jason Lagore. Parole Officer Troy K. Moreland. Officer Carlos Mendoza. Deputy Sheriff Thomas Albanese. Reserve Deputy Constable Martinez Mitchum. Police Officer Dominic Jared Wilnun. Captain Justin Williams Bedwell. Police Officer Jose Anzora. Corrections Officer Tracy Adams. Officer Crispin San Juan San Jose. Officer Jesse Madsen. Sergeant Barry Edwin Henderson. Deputy Sheriff Stanley Burdick. Police Officer Gary Hibbs. Border Patrol Agent Alejandro Flores Bonellas. Police Officer Kevin Valencia. Sergeant LaShonda Owens. Police Officer Eric Talley. Chief of Police Fred Allen Roselt. Correctional Officer Robert McFarlane. Senior Master Trooper Todd Hanneken. Corporal Kyle, Jeffrey, Davis, Trooper, Joseph, Gallagher, Sergeant, Shane, Owens, Reserve Deputy Sheriff, James, Driver, Trooper, Chad, Walker, Corrections Officer, Luis Atoro Hernandez, Police Officer, William Evans, Lieutenant, James Kowski, Police Officer, Brent Nelson Hall, Deputy Sheriff, Christopher Wilson Knight, Sergeant James K. Smith, Deputy Sheriff Thomas Patrick Barnes, Deputy Sheriff Carlos Antonio Hernandez, Border Patrol Agent Christopher Shane Simpkins, Police Officer David Pardue, K-9 Figo, K-9 Riley, K-9 Luna. Say their names. These are all law enforcement officers. All law enforcement officers, a total of 103 of them that have been killed in the line of duty protecting you and I in just this year, 2021. 4 months, 103 deaths in law enforcement in 4 months. Putting on the badge, going out, serving their communities, never to come home and see their family again. Died in the line of duty, protecting and serving their community. Say their names. And let me tell you something, my friends. These are the people that we should be taking a knee for. These are the people that the athletes, the professional athletes, should be taking a knee for. In the halls of Congress the other day, I saw them take a knee for George Floyd. Why aren't they taking a knee every time there's an officer that's been killed in the line of duty? Why? These are the heroes. These are the people that have lost their lives, that have gave it all. And they have families too. They have people that are still at home suffering because of this. Say their names. Remember what they did for us. Remember what they did for our communities. That never gets attention. You never hear the media talk about that. But you know, when a criminal commits a crime and the officer has to respond and the officer has to make a split-second decision and it's his life or theirs and he ultimately takes their life, the officer is scrutinized and the officer is found guilty. What kind of a world is this? 103 officers in 4 months in 2021 have been killed in the line of duty. And nobody knows their names. Nobody's kneeling for them. That's who we should be kneeling for. And that's why we should be upset. We should be marching on the streets defending our law enforcement officers. Not the other way around. We need to stop being afraid of these bullies. Stop falling for this political game, this trap. Being afraid to stand up to the groups like BLM and Antifa. It's okay to say that there's not systemic racism in your area, that your community is not all racist, that you don't have white privilege. We need to stand up for all this crap, and we need to start defending our values, defending our communities, and defending our law enforcement that have dedicated their lives to defending us. And we need to remember these ones, these names that I just hollered out in the last 4 months that have passed away in the line of duty, protecting us. 43 in January, 30 in February, 21 in March, 9 in April. Imagine what this number is going to be by the end of the year. In Oregon, we've already lost two, my friends. It's time we stand for our law enforcement. It's time that they know we have their backs. They've done a lot for us. It's time for us to give back. Don't turn that dial. Stay with me here on Patriot Uprising Radio.
We're back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Mickey Garris.
Hello, my fellow patriots. Welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. Remember, you can always go to our Facebook page, Patriot Uprising. You can also go to the website at kslmradio.news. We have our podcast up there. You can also catch the other programs that we offer. If you've missed one of my shows, you can go back and check out our podcast we have each week up there. The Facebook page, Patriot Uprising Radio, I try to stay up to date on that. Anymore, I'm kicked off Facebook more often than I'm on it. The last stint, I was kicked off for 45 days, and I got on it. I wasn't back on for more than 24 hours, and they kicked me off again. So somebody's out to get me. Definitely, if you're not a believer in big tech censoring us, you should be, because they are absolutely censoring us all, and they are taking away all of our freedom of speech. And like I said, as soon as there's a more viable platform out there that we can help get the message out, I'm going to bail ship. I'm not going to be sticking around giving Facebook any opportunities to censor me. But until that gets up and going, we still have to use platforms like Facebook and Twitter and some of these others. I do try to keep that updated. I'm still on lockdown. I'm not allowed to post anything for the next 26 days because I'm such a bad fellow, you know. But anyways, make sure you go check out the website, KSLM, and you can find all our podcasts and all our past shows back on that website. We were just talking about the trial of George Floyd and what the verdict was, and my reasoning to why it came down the way it did. I'm not sure justice was served. You can have your own opinion on what you think about Chauvin personally, but I don't think the prosecution really proved beyond reasonable doubt that he was guilty for that murder. And I think the witnesses on the stand proved otherwise. I think the big key was the coroner, the medical examiner, and obviously he said that George Floyd did not die from that restraint hold that Officer Chauvin placed on him. So that should have been, you know, end of the story. The other part of the story is George Floyd, you know, he should have never put himself in that position. If he would have stopped breaking the law, you know, if he would have not committed the crime, or if he would have just complied with law enforcement when they arrived at the scene, things might have turned out differently. Bottom line is, most likely he would have died from a fentanyl overdose. He had a overdose load in his blood, and that's what the experts are saying was really the result of his death. We talked about how the world is on fire because of somebody like George Floyd. And anytime the police are forced to make a decision because bad people are out there doing bad things and the police have to decide, is it going to be them or somebody else? And when the police officer make that decision, they're scrutinized for it. And everybody second guesses them and everybody treats them like they're guilty, like they just did something wrong, even though they probably didn't do anything wrong at all. And even when the facts are presented, it doesn't matter to people. The extreme left, the politicians that are using these situations to push their own agendas, it doesn't matter what the facts are. Right now, it's popular to say police are bad, defund the police, police are racist. And so regardless of the facts, that's exactly what they were doing. Now, I just listed off 103 officers that have died in the line of duty just in the last 4 months. Those are the people that we should be honoring. Those are the names that we should be saying. Those are the people that we should be marching in the streets for. Those are the people that we should be taking a knee for. Every single one of us. Those are the people that we should be having our athletes, our professional athletes, taking a knee for. How come we're not hearing about those people? As a community, that's my charge to you. I want you to stand up with me, and I want you to honor these lives that have been lost, the law enforcement officers that have defended us and gave all. I'm telling you, my friends, those are the people that we need to be kneeling for. Those are the people that we need to be fighting for. Those are the people that we need to be crying for, honoring, remembering. It's disgusting what's happening in this country right now. It's disgusting how our law enforcement are being treated. And if we want any hope, any chance at all of saving this nation, we can't do it without law and order. We cannot do it with our law enforcement officers. We cannot do it without these people that sacrifice, willingly sacrifice their time and their lives if need be, to protect and serve their communities. And the route things are going right now, it's going to be a lot harder to get any law enforcement officers that want to protect the community. You think that this is the worst of it? Trust me. With the way things are happening, with the things that they got planned, with the different movements that these radical extremists have been pushing this nation towards this last decade, they've got big plans. And things for law enforcement are only going to get worse. And unless we as a community stand up for them and defend them, one day we're not going to have any law enforcement left. What are you going to do when you live in complete anarchy? What are you going to do, Portland? What are you going to do, Seattle? What are you going to do, Eugene? What are you going to do, Salem? Because crime is going through the roof. Crime is rampant. There's no consequences. And the severity of the crimes are only going to continue to rise. And the drug problems are only going to continue to rise, which is going to bring in more crime. What are you going to do when there's no more law enforcement stopping that crime, fighting that crime, protecting you? What are you going to do when there's shootings each and every day in your neighborhood, like there is in other places? What are you going to do when you call 911 in the most desperate time of your life and there's no law enforcement there to respond? Because that's how we're pushing things. That's what's going to happen. Again, it blows my mind that cops aren't just walking off the force en masse right now. It blows my mind that all of these bigger agencies that are constantly under attack, that the law enforcement officers just haven't walked away in protest. They haven't gone on strike for the way that they're being treated. I think we're really lucky we still have law enforcement that want to show up and do their job. They do it because they love their community. They do it because they have this sense of duty that they need to fulfill. They do it because they swore an oath that they swore to uphold and protect the Constitution of the United States and the laws of Oregon. That's why they're showing up still. But this is not going to be forever. Mark my words, one day they're going to stop coming to work. One day things are going to be so bad and we are nearing that time. It's going to be hard to get any law enforcement at all to come to work. And what are we going to do then? Who's going to protect you then when there's no law enforcement left? If we don't stand up for them now, if we don't stop this BS, if we don't stop this crazy rhetoric that's happening, that all cops are bad, that we need to defund the police, that all cops are racist, that all cops are murderers. If we don't stop that mentality, we won't have any cops left. And then we will see how bad things get. I'm telling you, we need to stand up. We are the people that support the law enforcement officers. We are the majority. I know that. People don't want lawlessness. People don't want anarchy. The majority of the people back are blue. But the problem is we don't stand up together and say it. We don't fight for them when we need to fight for them. And that's what needs to happen. You have to do more than put a bumper sticker of the thin blue line on. You have to be willing to stand shoulder to shoulder and fight their fight because they are being attacked. They are in the front lines and they are being attacked each and every day. And it's only going to get worse. And if we want them in the future, it's time for us to protect them now. God bless you guys. Stay safe out there. Stay vigilant. Protect your law enforcement officers. And we'll catch you next week on Patriot Uprising Radio.
You've been listening to Patriot Uprising Radio right here on KSLM and KSLM.news.